Morning. Let's begin. So let's. Today's daf is Kuf Tes Zayin. So we're picking up again the bottom of Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis. Similar, we left off yesterday with the Machlokes between Abaye and Rava, regarding again the situation of the case that came up was Yitzchak Reish Galusa went to another city. And then they got a report back that Yitzchak Reish Galusa died. And so the Shaila was, we have to be Choshesh. We have to assume that perhaps, again, there is another Yitzchak Reish Galusa. So the Gemara said, Abaye said Chayshinan, Rava said Lo Chayshinan. So we'll say, so we explained Abaye Shita yesterday. We're picking up three lines from the bottom, Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis. Amar Rava says, how do I know that we do not need to be choshesh for a second Yitzchak Reish Galusa? So the Gemara says, Dhano Treish Shtari Dinafki Bemechuza. There was a situation of two different shtaros, two different documents that came out of the city of Mechuza. Uksiv Bohu Chavi Bar Nanoi, Venanoi Bar Chavi. And the names on the shtaros, two different creditors, one was Chavi Bar Nanoi, and the other one was Nanoi Bar Chavi. So we'll say, so what happened? So the lender shows up with the document wanting to collect from the creditor. And Va'agbi Behu Rava Bar Avua, Zuza, and Rava Bar Avua allowed the creditors to collect with this document. Now, both say the important background is Va'a Chavi Bar Nanoi, V'Nanoi Bar Chavi B'Mechuza Shchichi Tuva. Now, both say in Mechuza, Chavi Bar Nanoi and Nanoi Bar Chavi is like John Doe, right? Smith, right? It's like Schwartz. So, meaning very common names. So, because they were common names, one would have thought that perhaps there needs to be a little greater degree of what we'll call, independent corroboration, that the person who's showing up with the shtar is indeed the appropriate creditor. Yet Rava Bar Avua did not require any additional independent corroboration, rather again just allowed for collection. So this would appear that we are not choshesh for two people with the same name. So this is Rava's proof. You see from here that when somebody shows up or you hear information about a particular individual, you don't have to be choshesh that there's another person with the same name. Tap of Kuf Tes Zayin. So the Va'abaye Lemai Nechushla. So according to Abaye, Abaye will say, well, what would one have to be concerned with in such a case like this? Even a fila. So let's go through the possible things that could have gone wrong with this. Even a fila. Even a fila. If you're worried about the creditor losing the shtar, so Ms. Harzaherbe, we know that a malva creditor is very careful with keeping his shtar in his possession. So therefore, you don't have to be choshesh that he lost it and someone with the same name happened to find it. So perhaps you're going to be concerned, maybe Rabbi Osai, maybe Chavi Bar Nanoi was the creditor, and he has a friend who's also Chavi Bar Nanoi. After all, again, it's a very common name. So maybe he deposited the shtar with his friend who has the same name, and the guy showing up to collect the loan is in fact not the creditor, but rather who? The friend, the custodian, to which the Gemara says, Kevan Dishmei Kishmei Lo Mifkid Gabei. Well, anyone who's smart knows that if you have a loan document, you choose another friend who doesn't have the same name as you. He's not going to go ahead and deposit that document with the same friend as his. So the Gemara says, Mayam, so what are you concerned about? Dilma Masrle. So maybe you're concerned that, in fact, Rabosa, you have this concept where, let's say, Reuven lent Shimon money. So Reuven is the creditor. He holds the document. He holds the right of collection. Perhaps he went ahead and he gave over this right of collection to another individual. Dilma Masrle. So we'll say, and that's not a problem either. Why? Osios Niknos Bemesira. So we'll say, we will see this sugya later on. Not in this Masechta, but later on in the Babas, this idea of Osios Niknos B'Mesira, which is that you can convey the right of entitlement of collection of a debt by simply handing over a shtar to another. So if I'm the creditor, I have the right of collection, I choose I want to give that right of collection to Shimon. By handing over the document, ultimately, again, I convey ownership or I convey the right of collection. So Mosai, the point that Abaye is making over here is in this particular case, the reason why Rava Baravua allowed for collection is not because he's not choshesh for people with the same name. He might be choshesh with the same name, but in this case, there's nothing really to be concerned about. We're not concerned that creditors lose documents. We're not concerned that creditors deposit documents with people who have the same name as them. And even if he did convey ownership to someone else, you can convey ownership or the right of collection of a debt by simply handing over the shtar. So therefore, that case is not a good proof. Hahugita dishtachach besura. So they once found a get in Surah. Now, whenever you see a situation of where you find a get, so the question, of course, becomes, the question now, you want to obviously be able to return that to the woman because that is exceptionally important for her to be able to remarry, for her to be able to collect her property, her ksuva. The shaila, of course, is how do you know exactly who the parties are who are named in the get. So the Gemara says like this. They found a get, and it said the following. It said, Besura Masa, in the city of Sura, Anan Barchia of Nardo, Patris Visachris Plonis Ansosi. So I went ahead and I divorced Plonis, so-and-so, my wife. Okay, so both sides, so just keep this in mind. The get is being found in Surah. It was written in Surah, and the husband's name is Anan Barchia of Nardo. Okay, so what happened? So the rabbis checked around to see, is there another Anan Barchia? And what they checked from Surah to Nardo, V'lo hava Anan Barchia achrini, Lebar me anon barchia me chagra de hava benardo. So they checked around. They found only one other guy by the name of Anan Barchia, and he was Anan Barchia from the city of Chagra, who was presently in Nardo. Okay. Va'asu sahadi va'amar, and witnesses came along and said, Dahu yoma, that on that date that the get was written, ki ichtava hugita, Anan Barchia mechagra gabon hava, that Anan Barchia from Chagra was with us. And Rashi points out over here, gabon hava etzlenu haya benardo v'gita ksiv besura. So we'll say this. So witnesses came along and said this only other guy by the name of Anan Barchia was in Nardo with us. So essentially now it would appear that we have proven that Mrs. Anan Barchia who shows up to say that was my get, presumably the man stated in the get is her husband, because the only other guy named Anan Barchia, who just parenthetically, by the way, was originally from Chagra, but happened to reside in Nardo, was with witnesses in Nardo the day that the get was written. And where does it say the get was written? In Surah. So in other words, it couldn't have been him. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, Af lididi da'amina chayshinan hachalo chayshinan. So Abaye says, even I who normally assume that you have to be choshesh for another person with the same name, even I would agree in this case, you don't have to be choshesh that it was the other Anan Barchia. Da'haka amri sahadi b'debenahar da'hava. So the Gemara says, because after all, again, witnesses came along and said that he was in Nardo. So my Ba'ab Surah, what would he possibly be doing in Surah? Which is another way of saying, if witnesses are saying that he was in Nardo, then what? Then he was not in Surah. Omar Rava. Rava says, on the other hand, Af lididi delo chayshinan. To be honest, when it comes to me, even though I am not normally choshesh for another person with the same name, I would tell you, hacha chayshinan. I would tell you that in this case, you have to be concerned, because now what we've established is there is another Anan Barchia, and he's also from Nardo, not originally, but presently from Nardo, and here's what you have to be choshesh for. Begamla parcha azel, maybe he has a very fast camel, right? A six-cylinder, right? He's mamish, he's got a very fast camel. So what does it mean he has a very fast camel? Because it's possible, just because witnesses say that on the date that the get was written, he was in Snardah, does not necessarily mean that what? he could not have made it to Surah. Also, remember, I want to be clear on something. We'll get to Gittin, but one interesting discussion that comes up in Masechus Gittin is there Zman begin? Meaning, we know we put a date, but do we put a time? And the answer is, we do not put a time in a get, for a variety of reasons, which we'll discuss, but we do not put a time. So Rav, listen, the fact that witnesses said that he was in Arda doesn't mean that if he was able to mount a particularly swift camel, that he should have been able to make it over to Narda that same day. Inami, Bikfisa, or the other possibility is Kfitza. Now I'll say Kfitza literally means jumping, right? So jumping in this case normally means that maybe he knows the ineffable name of God, and what he was able to get there relatively quickly. Now, also, when the Gemara says something like this, what it just means is that, you know, whatever is possible. That's the point. It's possible. It's not impossible. It's not the pshat, you know, that he was in the Golan on the same day that the get was written in Narda. That would have been impossible. The point is, from Surah to Narda, it's possible, whether it's a fast camel or whether it's Shema Meforash, the idea is that it's possible to get from one place to the other. To which the Gemara says, Inami, the other possibility is, Mili Masra. So also the other possibility is perhaps when the get was written in Surah, the husband doesn't have to be there, right? Perhaps the husband gave over the agency of this get to another, which would therefore mean what? Einachinami, witnesses said that you're with us in Narda. Yeah, I was with you in Narda. But what? I sent a shaliach to go ahead and administer the get on my behalf in Surah. As Rav used to say to the scribes, and Rav Hun used to say to the scribes, ki isnichu b'shili, k'suvu b'shili, afagav demimsran mili b'hini. So Rav used to say, Rav and Rav Hun used to say to the scribes, if you have been commissioned by a husband to go ahead and write a get, even though he asked you to do it when you were in Shili, but you're writing the get, even though you were commissioned, you were appointed in Hini, but since you are writing it in Shili, write Shili in the get. V'chi isnichu behini, k'suvu behini afagav demimsran mili b'shili. And even if you are appointed in Shili, but if you're writing the get in Hini, make sure to write Hini. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that Lamais, again, if you appoint an agent to go ahead and write a get, so the location written in the get is not the area in which the agency was formed, but rather what? The place in which the get itself was written. Therefore, again, even Rava says, even if you have witnesses that say, the husband was in Narda with us and the get was written in Surah, that's not a contradiction. It still could have been written by the husband, because Lamais, maybe he appointed a shaliach, and they're writing on his behalf. And when you appoint the shaliach doesn't write the location of where the appointment took place, but rather the shaliach writes the location of where the get is actually being written. To which the Gemara finally says, "My havi alayhu." So excuse me, "My havi alayhu d'shem shmi." So let's say, let's get back to the important case of sesame seeds. What happened in the sesame seed case? Because remember the sesame seed case? This was a situation where Reuven deposited a barrel of sesame seeds with Shimon. And what occurred? And Reuven shows back up, says, "Give me back my sesame seeds." Shimon says, "You already cleaned your sesame seeds. The barrel that's over here is someone else's barrel." But Reuven says, "One second, it's the same type of barrel. And there's 5 kilos of sesame seeds in there." So again, Shimon said, very nice. But it just happens to be, yes, it's a similar barrel to the one you gave me, and it happens to contain the same amount of sesame seeds, but it's not yours. So we'll say, that's what sparked the machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Well, actually, it's not what sparked, it's what began the discussion. So now, the question is, what is the halacha on the sesame seed case? Rav Yemar Amar Lo Chayshinon. So Rav Yemar says, we are not choshesh shema pina, meaning we're not choshesh that Shimon went ahead and swapped out the Reuven's sesame seeds for another. Ravina Amar Chayshinon. Ravina says that no, we are actually choshesh that what happens, that this is no longer the sesame seeds of Reuven, and perhaps it's someone else's sesame seeds. V'hilchasa chayshinan. Rashi says the following. Rashi says, actually not yet. So Rashi just says, "My havi alayhu d'shum shemi mi chayshinan shema pinein." So the halacha Ravina says is that we are choshesh that what? That the Shum Shemin are in fact the Shum Shemin of another. That when Reuven shows up and he says, those are my sesame seeds, and Shimon says that they're not, that we believe Shimon, and therefore again, those are not Reuven's sesame seeds. And I will say, you should understand, that in fact is not a novelty. That goes in line with the general concept of Hamotzi Mechavera Alav Haraya. If you want to extract something from someone else, the burden of proof is upon the extractor. So if I am Reuven and I show up and I say, Shimon, give me back my barrel of sesame seeds. And Shimon says, what are you talking about? I gave it back to you already. This sesame seeds either belongs to someone else, belongs to me, whatever it is. The burden of proof is upon Reuven, because Reuven is one who essentially wants to take something away from Shimon. Remember, the status quo is that the sesame seeds are in the possession of Shimon. You want to change the status quo, the burden of proof is upon you, the extractor. So again, the fact that we paskin, that chayshinon, that again, lemaisa, we assume that these are different sesame seeds as one originally deposited, is not a novelty here, but rather an application of an already established monetary principle. So the answer is you only deal with people you trust. You only deal with people. This again, this you could have a shtar. You could put in safeguards. You could put in safeguards. You could say, I'm picking up the sesame seeds on so-and-so date. Right? You could create an end to the guardianship, which by definition says, you know that I'm coming back. So if you tell me that I came back early, you're not believed because the shtar that contradicts you. Or you could go ahead and say that the shtar says, you know, I will retain this right of collection until I actually retain my sesame seeds, and the shomer will sign off that I... So there are many of ways you could safeguard it, but in the absence of that, the burden of proof is upon the extractor, says the Gemara. Vilchsa, fine. Kitata bein alabina. So I'll say the other piece also is, just so you should know, and this is a much broader machlokes, so it's hard to say what the halacha lemaise is, but in the machlokes in Abaye and Rava about chayshinan or like chayshinan, are we choshesh for another person with the same exact name, like in the case of Yitzchak Reish Kalusa? So the Rambam paskins like Rava, that we are not choshesh for another person with the same name. Now obviously there are situations where we are choshesh, but in general, like in the case of the Gemara, that Yitzchak Reish Kalusa went overseas, and you get word back that Yitzchak Reish Kalusa died in Kortava, and we know that he was traveling to Kortava, in a vacuum, the halacha would say, okay, we accept that testimony, and we are not choshesh that perhaps there's a second Yitzchak Reish Kalusa. So a paskin like Rava, that we're not choshesh for a second Reish Kalusa, Yitzchak Reish Kalusa, we're not choshesh for another person with the same name, and we paskin chayshinon. We paskin the fact that when the Shimon says that these are new sesame seeds there, that we believe Shimon in that claim. Says the Gemara, Katata Bein Olabena. So we'll say, if you remember again, the Mishnah said, this going back to the original case of the Mishnah, where husband and wife travel overseas, wife comes back, says my husband died. So the Mishnah says, in order for the wife to be believed, so two criteria have to be satisfied. Number one, there has to be shalom in the world, or when we say in the world, there has to be peace in the general region in which they are coming from, and that we spoke about already. And number two, there has to be peace between the husband and wife. But if there is kitata, if there's strife or animosity between husband and wife, she is not believed in her claim to say that he is dead. What does it mean that there's strife between the two of them? It's where a wife says to her husband, divorce me. Divorce, that was the Gemara, something very interesting. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Kulu nami amruhachi. Every woman says that to her husband, right? When they get into a fight, right? When she gets angry and she says, I want out of this marriage. So what do you mean? Because a woman says, divorce me. So suddenly again, that means there's kitata. Ella ba'omeres labayla gerashtani. No, the case is where what? Where she claims that my husband divorced me. So watch this. She claims my husband divorced me already. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Now I will say, if a woman makes a claim that her husband divorced her, why don't we believe her? After all, Rav Hamnuna, because what Rav Hamnuna says, Rav Hamnuna, Isha she'amar labayla girashtani ne'emenes. If a woman said in front of her husband, you divorced me, she is believed. Why? Chazaka ein isha me'iza paneha b'fnei bayla. Because we both say there is a chazaka that a woman will not be so brazen to lie in front of her husband. Meaning that if her husband didn't divorce her, for her to claim that he did divorce her would be exceptionally brazen. So we'll say it's a little bit of like a circular logic. Therefore, the idea that we say is, therefore, if she says that she is divorced in front of her husband, therefore what? We believe her. We believe her because we assume that she would not be so brazen to lie. Therefore, if she's saying it, it therefore what? It therefore must be the truth. So the Gemara says, therefore, again, if she says that you divorced me, she's believed. To which the Gemara says, no. Ba'omeres girashtani b'fnei ploni uploni, where she claims, my husband divorced me in front of Reuven and Shimon. They were the witnesses. V'sha'alina, and we asked the witnesses, va'amru lo hayu dvarim me'olam. And the witnesses say, we don't know what you're talking about. That never happened. So we'll say, so in other words, the Gemara says over here, is that if a woman claims, my husband divorced me in front of Reuven and Shimon, and we go to Reuven and Shimon, and it turns out they say, we don't know what you're talking about, that never happened. That's a pretty good indication that the marriage is in a state of disrepair. So that would be the Gemara says, that's a case of kitata, where a wife is lying about being divorced. That's pretty much a case of marital strife. Rav Chanina Amar, my time of diktata. So we'll say, so why is it, if there's a case of marital strife, so why is it that when the wife comes back and she says, from overseas, and she says, my husband died while we were overseas, why is she not believed? Rav Chanina Amar, Mishum Meshakra. Rav Chanina said very simply, because we're afraid she's going to lie. Because since she's unhappy in the marriage, she wants out, she'll lie. And I will say, now remember, again, look at Rashi, Dimishakra, Meirov Sina Miskavenes Lesser Atzmalav. Now I will say, understand something. The mice, at the end of the day, now remember, if she lies, there's always a possibility he's going to come back, but that's okay, because what is she going to do in the interim? She'll connect with another man, and what's going to happen? So if her husband comes back, what occurs? She becomes Asura to him. Now I will say, she doesn't mind that at all. Why? Because she wants out of the marriage anyway, leaving aside the small issue of adultery, right? But leaving that aside, at the end of the day, she's more than happy to become prohibited to him. Therefore, again, she's happy to lie about it because she wants out of this marriage anyway. Perhaps her husband is not giving her a get. So therefore, again, she'll lie. She'll marry another man. It's true it's going to be adultery, but let me say, if and when her husband comes back, she's out of the marriage. Rav Simi bar Ashi Aram Mishum de Amra Bididami. Rav Simi Ashi says, no, it's not that she's going to lie, but again, we're afraid that what? That she will testify that he died because circumstantially she assumes that occurred, even though what? Even though in reality she does not know that to be a fact. That's Bididami. Bididami means like conjecture. She'll make assumptions. So where was we had that by the case of the war? My Binayos, so that's probably the difference between these two approaches of lying and conjecture. Ika benayhu da argil hu kitata. The nafkamina bosa is in a case where he is the instigator of the fighting. And I will say, if he is the instigator of the fighting, so Lemaisa, again, she might still go ahead. She might still go ahead and conjecture that he died when in fact he didn't, but the sinna that she has is not as great since she is not the source of animosity. So the only assumption that she will lie is when she is the one who hates him. But if she is not the one who hates him, but rather again, he's primarily the one who has the aggression towards her, the assumption is that she's not going to automatically lie. If you look at Tosis says over here, Perush Laman Dahar Mishum de Meshakra, Haisa Yireya Kolkach Lashaker, Kevan Derach Malay. So she's not going to lie in the case where he's the instigator because she may still have feelings for him. But according to the one who says that we're afraid she's going to conjecture that he's dead, any level of marital strife will go ahead and cause her to reach the conclusion that in fact he is dead. What happens if one witness shows up? So we'll say, listen to this case. So in this situation over here, there was a situation of marital strife between husband and wife. Couple goes overseas. And Eid Echad comes back and says that the husband died. So we'll say, this doesn't have to be the couple. It could be the husband goes overseas. And what happened? So we'll just keep it easy. Husband goes overseas. There was marital strife already beforehand. One witness comes back and says, your husband died. Is the one witness believed? So the Gemara says, my time in the Eid Echad Mehemen, what's the reason why one witness is normally believed? Mishum de Milsa David, like, Luye lo Meshaker, Hachin Amim lo Meshaker. On one hand, we can say the reason why Eid Echad is believed is because, again, people don't lie about things that will be revealed. Since if the Eid is lying and the husband is still alive, Lemaise, again, the husband may come back, and the aid may be shown to be a liar. So a person is not going to lie in such a situation like that. Therefore, you could accept this testimony. Odom, the other possibility is, the aid echad muhemin mishum dehi daiko min sabah. The other possibility, Rabbi says, why is the aid echad believed? This is what we spoke about. Because the assumption is we believe the Eid Echad, because essentially we shift the burden of proof to her. That we assume that she is going to do her due diligence before remarrying. On the other hand, but in this case over here, what's going to happen? Because she hates her husband, and because there is marital strife, what are we concerned about? That she will not launch the appropriate investigation. She will not look into the circumstances of her husband's death at all, because she's more than happy just to be freed from him. And therefore, again, umin saba, and she'll get married. So therefore, Abbas says, so the shayla is, do we believe the Eid Echad in this case? If you say, though normally we believe in Eid Echad because it's a Milsa Davida Legluye, it's a matter that will become known, so we can believe the Eid Echad in this case as well. However, if we normally believe in Eid Echad because we assume that she's going to launch her own investigation, you cannot assume that there'll be an investigation in this case because there was marital strife, therefore she's happy just to get out of the marriage. And therefore, again, we wouldn't rely on the Eid Echad. So what's the halacha? The Gemara says, teku. We're not sure. We have to table it. Rabbi Huda Amar Li Olam Eino. Supposed to remember, Rabbi Huda said that the only time a woman is permitted to, is believed to testify that her husband died, is when she comes back and exhibits external displays of mourning as well. Her clothing is ripped. She's crying. She's disheveled. So the Gemara says the following. Tanya Amar Li Rabbi Huda. He said to Rabbi Huda, Lidvarech, according to your logic, Pikachos Tinase, Shota Lo Tinase. So according to your logic, a Pikachos can get remarried. A Shota cannot. Why, Rabosai? Because for a Pikachos, if she walks in and her clothing is torn and her hair is disheveled and she's crying, that's an indication that she's mourning. For a Shota, that just might be Tuesday. You know, right? That might just be like a regular day. So therefore, again, what you're telling me is that Lemaisa, according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, the Shota would never have a way out. Now, I will say, obviously, the interesting part over here is, although we're talking about a Shota, it can't be a real Shota in the fullest sense, because a real Shota in the fullest sense, then what? You wouldn't be accepting her testimony anyway. So it must be the kind of situation where a person is, we'll call, intellectually intact, but, you know, some people just don't have it together externally. So the idea over here is perhaps there's a person that's never together externally, and therefore, Lemaisa again, you wouldn't believe her. To which the Gemara says, Ella achazuva achazutinase. Therefore, the Rabbanon argue on Rabbi Huda, and they say no. The truth is, we don't. The veracity of her testimony has absolutely nothing to do with her external appearance, but rather we assume that as long as there's shalom in the world, shalom in her marriage, whether she's crying or she's not crying, clothing torn, not torn, disheveled, not disheveled, we're going to believe her. To which the Gemara says, Hahi da'asya le'beidin ad Rabbi Huda. So there was a woman who showed up to the Beis Din of Rabbi Huda, and she was testifying that her husband had died. But apparently, her clothing was not torn, and she was not crying. So Amulei, the Rabbanim on the Beis Din, said to her, Sapti balech, you better begin to cry for your husband. Kari ma'anech, tear your clothing. Sisri mazyech, literally undo your braids. So the Gemara says, what's going on over here? Afuha shikra? Are the rabbis teaching her to lie? So let's say, such a strange situation. The woman shows up in Beis Din, and she's ready to testify that her husband died, but she looks kind of okay externally. And the rabbis are saying, you know, you better look like your husband died. So they're teaching her to lie. To which the Gemara says, no. Inu ki rabbanan sfir lehu. Amri tavit hachi kechi delishariye. So let's listen to this. So the rabbis, even though this is Rabbi Yehuda's Beis Din, the fellow Dayanim did not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. And they felt that her external appearance has absolutely no impact on the veracity of her testimony. But they said to her, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be looking for these external displays. Now that is not necessarily according to the halacha, but Rabbi Yehuda is going to be looking for it. So we're giving you a word to the wise. If you want Rabbi Yehuda to accept your testimony, you better make sure that externally it looks like you just suffered a loss. Says the Mishnah. I will say, just so you know, we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, we pass like the Rabbanon, and therefore we do not require her to be crying. We do not require her. It's also interesting, by the way, because Rabbi Yehuda also makes the assumption that there is one reaction to loss, which is crying, tearing clothing, and becoming disheveled. It's almost like the Rabbanon, except psychologically, many people are able to look intact externally. It doesn't mean they're not mourning. It doesn't mean they're not broken. It doesn't mean they're not hurt. But some people just simply do not go ahead and express emotion in an external fashion. So if we pass like the Rabbanon, and again, halacha lemaisa, if a woman comes back from overseas and says that my husband died, as long as there was shalom in the region which they were visiting, and as long as there was shalom between him and her and within their marriage, then lemaisa again she is believed. Says the Mishnah, Beisila Om Beisila says, Lo shamanu ela baba min akatzer ba'osa medino kamaisa shahaya. Now we'll say this Mishnah is further qualifying the previous case, in the previous Mishnah. When do we say that a woman is believed to testify that her husband died? Only when she comes, only if she's coming during the harvest season. Now we'll discuss why that is. Only during the harvest season. And it has to be that they were in the same country. Meaning that if she's coming from overseas and testifying about something that happened overseas, she is not believed. Only believed if she's coming literally in the same season, in the harvest season, and in the same country, because it has to mirror the events as they originally occurred. Now, also, we're going to see what that means, events as they originally occurred. The Gemara says, Kamaisa Shahaya. Amulahem Beisham. Beisham says, what are you talking about? Achas Abba min Akatir, Vachas Abba min Azesim, Vachas Abba min Abatir. It makes no difference if it's the wheat harvest season, if it's the olive season, or it's the grape season. Vachas Abba min Medina. It doesn't make a difference if she's coming locally or she's coming from overseas. Lo Dibru Chachamim Bekatir Ela Behove. The rabbis only spoke about the grain harvest because that was the Maisa Shaya, that was the case that they were dealing with, and we'll define this case. And therefore, the Gemara says, Chazru Mishnah says, Chazru Beisilal Lahoros Kebe Shammai. Beisilal retracted their statement, their position, and Paskin like Beis Shammai. So, we'll say this is one of these few instances where Beis Shammai is more makil, Beis Shammai is more lenient than Beisilal, and Beisilal reversed their position, Paskin like Beis Shammai. So, therefore, Beis Shammai holds that a woman is believed to testify that her husband died, again, assuming all the other criteria are met, and it doesn't make a difference what season it is, and it doesn't make a difference what country the death occurred, even if it's from Medina Sayyam. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Amru Lahem, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, Lidvarechem, according to your logic, this is before Beis Hillel changed their position. Beis Hillel, in your original position, Einli Ela Katzir Chitim, I only know that a woman is believed to testify that her husband died during the wheat harvest season. Ketzir Saorim Minayin. How do I know that she's believed to testify that he was killed during the barley season? Ve'inli Ela Kotzer. I only know that it's true about the harvesting of grain, that she's believed during the harvesting of grain. Botzer Mosek Goder Oder Minayin. How do I know that she's also believed during a time where it's a grape harvest, olive harvest, date harvest, and fig harvest? Ella Maisa Shahaya Bekatsir Vuadin Lakulu, but rather the original case that occurred was during the harvest season, but the rabbis extended the rule to all seasons. Hachanami Maisa Shahaya Ba'osa Medina, so too the original case occurred within the same country, but Vuadin Lakulu, but the halacha that she is believed applies to all countries. Ubeisilel, Beisilel will say no. Ba'osa Medina the Shrichi Inshi Mirsas. Beisilel, on the other hand, say no. She's only believed to testify when the death occurred in the same country. Why? Because then she's scared that there was a possibility, if she's lying, that people may come and contradict her testimony. So because of that, she is believed. We assume she's saying the truth. But if she testifies something that occurred overseas, there's not a concern that someone else may come to contradict her testimony. And therefore she may lie. Ubeisham, Beisham will say, no, hachinami, shchichi shayarta. It's not true that what happens, even in a case of where she's testifying about a death overseas or some faraway place, there are caravans, meaning people do travel from place to place, and therefore she would still have a fear of being contradicted. Therefore, we assume she's telling the truth. So the Gemara says, my mic says shahaya. So we'll say, remember, everybody's talking about the case. What is the case? What's the mic says shahaya? Dharma Yehuda Shmuel. Shilfi Ketzir Chitin Hayu. It was the end. This was the end of the grain harvest season. V'holchu Asara B'nei Adam L'Ketzir Chitin. 10 men went out to the field to harvest grain. Noshchu Nachash La'echal Mehen Umes. A snake bit one of the men and he died. U'ba'asa Ishto V'hodiya L'Bezdin. His wife came to Bezdin and told Bezdin what happened. V'sholchu U'matzu Kidvareha. And they went and they investigated and they found that indeed what she said was true. Her husband was bitten by a snake and was dead. Ba'osa Shah, in that moment, Amru, they said, Ha'isha Sha'amra Meis Ba'ali Tinase. If a woman says, my husband died, she is believed. Meis Ba'ali Tisavim. She said, my husband died, she's permitted to engage in Yibum. So this is the case, this is the original case. Now, both sides. The reason why this case is very intriguing is why? Because Beis Din is not relying on her testimony here. Remember, what did Beis Din do? Beis Din went out to the field, and what did they find? What did they find? They found a dead guy, right? They found a dead guy who was bitten by a snake. So they were not relying on her testimony. So what happened over here? Take a quick look at Tosis. Tosis just says over here, So at that moment, they realized that, well, you know, this time we were able to find the body. But should there be a case we're not able to find the body, or let's say the death occurred somewhere far away, if we don't believe her, we're going to have a big aguna problem. So even though this was not a case of where they had to rely on her testimony, because here they were actually were able to establish her words through concrete evidence, i.e. a body, from this case they realized the potential aguna issue that could arise, and therefore the rabbis legislated that we will believe a woman, we will believe an Eid Echad in a case where she comes to testify about the death of her husband. So when it says Neima, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, V'Rabbanon, deplotted the Mishnah, V'Silkom Eflugi. So perhaps again, Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva and the Rabbanon are arguing the same machlokas v'Sham v'Silah. What's the machlokas? Tisanya lo yisa adam mechatos ve'ifar chatos ve'yaavirim biyardin ubesvina. So we'll say the machlokas v'Sham v'Silah essentially is like this. Right now, before v'Silah changed his position, the machlokas is v'Silah says that rabbinic legislation must mirror the circumstances in which it was made. Therefore, again, the case in which the rabbis paskin was a case of where it was the wheat harvest season. It was the wheat harvest season and same country. Therefore, the only situation in which we believe omen to testify that her husband died is where? Wheat harvest season, same country. Beis Shammai says, no, that's not true. When the rabbis, yes, that was the original case, but the rabbis meant to expand this ruling to any similar case. It doesn't matter what cultural season it is, and it doesn't even matter what country we're in. So say the machlokes, Beis Shammai says, say machlokes, Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva and the Rabbanon. This time, we learn in the Braisa. Lo yisam adam mechatas ve'efer chatas, a person should not transport. Well, say mechatas either means the mixture of spring water with the ashes of the para aduma, or the para aduma itself, v'yaavire biyardin. You may not take them in a boat across the Jordan, biyardin ubesvina, either across the Jordan or in a boat on the Jordan, v'lo ya'amod bitzadzeh. Actually, I take that back. You should not go ahead and take the ashes of the para aduma on the Jordan River, or for that matter, besvina, on a boat, on any body of water. You shouldn't throw the para aduma ashes over a river from one bank to another. Or you should not float it down river. And you should not go ahead and transport it on the back of an animal, the back of a person. Unless, of course, let's say if a person's walking in the river, right? Unless, of course, the person's feet are embedded on the riverbed. But you can cross, you can take the ashes over a bridge, even though the bridge traverses a river, whether that's the Yarden or any other river. So we'll say that's the Rabbanon. Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva Omer, lo amru ela Yarden ubesino kemaise shahaya. That no, the only thing you can't do is you can't take the ashes of the Paraduma on the Jordan River, in a boat, mirroring the events that occurred. So I'll say, we don't even know what happened over here, but here's what we do know. We have the Rabbanon going ahead and expanding the circumstances in which something is usher, and Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva only saying the only circumstances are usher are the same exact circumstances that were present in the original episode that occurred. And we didn't discuss the episode yet. We'll see it. So Gemara says, Lema Rabbanu de Amri ke Beis Shammai. Bless you. So say that the rabbis reflect a view of Beis Shammai, just like Beis Shammai expands the circumstances of the original case to cover all circumstances. So too, the Rabbanu are saying that over here by the ashes of the Paraduma. Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva de Amri ke Beis Shammai. So which the Gemara says, Amri lecha Rabbanu, no. Aranda Amra filu ke Beis Shammai. The truth is, Rabbanan say, no, we could even pass like Beis Shammai. How so? At kan lo karn beis elahasim el mishum de mirsas b'makom karav mirsas b'makom rachok lo mirsas. So beis Hillel ruled in the case of the Osa Medina that she's only believed to testify about events that occurred in the same country out of mirsas, out of fear. Because the way we ensure that her testimony is correct is by making sure that she has a fear of being discovered if she's lying. The only time she has a fear of being discovered if she's lying is when? Is if she testifies about events that occurred in the same country. However, hacha, Mali Yardin, Mali Sharnaros. But in this case over here, what difference would it make if it's the Jordan River or if it's other rivers? And therefore, again, the Rabbanon are saying we could even pass like Beis Hillel. Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva, Amar Lecha. Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva would say to you, Anad Amri Afil Beis Shammai. I would hold even like Beis Shammai. Ad Kan Lo Amri Beis Shammai Hasam Ela Mishum Deihi Daiko Min Saba. So Rabbi Shammai says over there, the reason why she is believed is because she's the Eid Echad, she is believed is because we know she's going to do her due diligence before getting remarried. Mali Makom Karov, Mali Makom Rachok. What does it matter if her husband died here or somewhere far away? Hacham Mishum Maisa Shai B'Yardin Ubisvina Dahava. But in the case of the ashes of the Paraduma, the episode occurred on the Jordan River. Therefore, the rabbis were only goes around the case of the Jordan River and not any other case. So let's finish this. My Maisa Shahaya. So we'll say, what is this case that they are referring to? So the Amrav Yehuda Marav, Rav Yehuda is the name of Rav, Maisa Ba'adam Shaya Mavir Mechatas Ve'Efarchatas Biyardin. There was a man who was taking Mechatas and Efarchatas, he was taking the ashes of the Paraduma and the water of the Paraduma across the Jordan River, Ubisvina, on a boat. V'nimtza kizayis hames tachov bakarka shel Sina. What did they find? They found a kizayis, they found, right, a piece of a corpse on the bottom of the boat. On the bottom of the boat, literally on the floor of the boat. And we'll say, obviously, now what did that do? That invalidated the ashes of the Paraduma. Because we'll say, essentially, what ended up happening is the person holding the ashes passed over the Kizayis mace, essentially formed an ohel over the flesh of the corpse, and that was Matame, the ashes of the Paraduma. Ba'osa sha'amru, so in that moment they legislated, they said, Lo yisa adam mechatas, the Efer Chatas, a person should not carry Mechatas, or Mechatas means the water mixture, or the ashes, the Ya'avirem Biyardem Ubesina. And you should not take them again on the Jordan and in a boat. So, Mosai, the fundamental machlokis is where the rabbis only gozer in that particular case, or they expound their gzir to include other cases. That's machlokis Rabbanon and Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, which would also seem to be the same machlokis of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel feeling that the rabbis only legislated in a very specific case of Osa Medina and Ketzir Chitim, whereas Beis Shammai is saying, no, they legislated in all cases, but Rabbi said, for our purposes over here, important to understand, the bottom line of the Mishnah is, Beis Hillel rethought their position, and at the end of the day agreed with Beis Shammai, that although rabbinic legislation was based on a case of Ketzir Chitim and Osa Medina, that the rabbinic enactment of believing her applies to all cases, independent of the season and independent of the location. All right, the Bosai Shekoach.